I'd like you to turn tonight to the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 2, and we'll read some verses here, Hebrews chapter 2. And while you're looking it up, please remember also the latest issue of the Canadian Revivalist is to hand, and you can get a copy as you leave, and please introduce the magazine to others that they may be blessed by the messages that are contained therein. Hebrews chapter 2, and we'll commence our reading at verse number 1. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him, God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will. For unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the world to come, whereof we speak, but one in a certain place testified, saying, What is man, that thou art mindful of him, or the Son of Man, that thou visitest him? Thou madest him a little lower than the angels, thou crownest him with glory and honour, and didst set him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet, for in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honour, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. For it became him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons into glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me. Forasmuch then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily, he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore, in all things it behoved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. And may the Lord bless to our hearts this reading from his own infallible and inspired word. Let's just bow for a moment's prayer. Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank thee for this royal book of the Lord Jesus Christ, the book of Hebrews. And Father, we pray that thou would help us to mind the depths of the wonders of this book and the wonders of he whose name is wonderful. And Father, we pray that thou would encourage each of the children of the Lord to follow hard after him. And Father, for any who are here tonight who know not the Lord, we pray that even this night thou would save some precious soul. Thank the Lord for that young person who came to know the Lord last evening, the one from our Sunday school. We pray, our Father, that thou would bless the little one, and may that one grow in the grace of the Lord our God. Be with us now, we pray. Close us in with thyself. Defeat every stratagem of the wicked one to steal away the blessing. And Lord, bless our souls and refresh us and speak to us by the power of the great author who is the Holy Spirit. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. As most of you know, my wife and I just returned last evening from a rather lovely Caribbean cruise. It was a nice break from the cold Canadian winter, and we are in a sense playing catch-up because this was planned 2 years ago with two families, two sets of friends of ours of over 40 years standing. We planned it for 2 years ago, and then I was in the hospital for surgery. We had to cancel it then. We couldn't take it up last year because I was in hospital for radiation treatment, but now we're able to catch up, and we had a blessed time, and Brother Howard and Grace, they joined with us. So 8 of us were down there in the Caribbean, and we had a wonderful time. Now, as you travel through life, always keep your eyes open, because there's all kinds of glorious illustrations in the book of nature with regard to the gospel of the Lord Jesus. For example, when we were in St. Lucia, we saw many, many acres of bananas growing. And you look at a banana, don't think very much about it. But did you know that the banana plant gives its life for its fruit every year, and it dies? And what a wonderful illustration you have there of the gospel of the Lord Jesus. And when we were down there, we saw wonderful evidences of the beauty of the Lord our God in the various islands that we visited. But we also saw the evidence of blasting as well as beauty. And we saw blessing and we saw judgment. Because just on Friday, as we're sailing up back to the home port, we stopped nearby the island of Montserrat, where for a short time, the captain brought the great ship in as close as he could to Montserrat, where we were parked just beside the capital city of Plymouth, and we saw it destroyed by a volcano just in 1997, and you can see the lava flow to this day right down to the middle of the town, the houses sticking up out of it, and nobody living there. All you could smell was the smell of sulfur still many years after that eruption in 1997. And so you can see the blessing of God in the Caribbean. You can also see the blasting of the Lord as he uses his various instruments to bring judgment upon this sinful world. But tonight I want to talk about something that has been on my mind all week, an expression that you find in verse 10 of our chapter 2 here to Hebrews. It says, "For it became him for whom are all things," and that's God the Father. "For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation," and that's the Lord Jesus, "perfect through sufferings." And I want to focus on the expression, "the captain of their salvation." And I want to use the captain of the ship that we traveled on to illustrate the meaning of this great gospel truth that Jesus is the captain of their salvation. And the first thing we need to consider is, and that is the necessity of the captain, because a ship has to have a captain. The vessel we were on was rather a large one, the Serenade of the Seas, and it was about 90,000 tons weight or displacement, and it was so high that up at the top from the sea level up to the top radar scanner was 173 feet, which is about four times the height of this building here. So it gives you some idea of the size of that great ship. But that ship has to have one person who is in complete and absolute control. Now, on the ship, there's a crew of almost 900 doing all kinds of different things. And if those people in the ship began to argue and debate and say, "No, the captain's not to do it this way, it has to go this way, we will do it our way," and so on, you'd have absolute chaos. And so in the ship, you have somebody who is in complete control and to whom everyone else is in submission, and there's no argument. He has complete control over the ship. Now, when it comes to the matter of the salvation of our souls, It does refer to the Lord Jesus as the captain of their or our salvation. Now, in this world, there is a host of competing philosophies and religions. But if you follow the example of them, and you follow their teaching, you'll find you'll be brought to a spiritual shipwreck on the rocks of human teaching and human opinion. Jesus Christ alone is the necessary captain of salvation, and there's no way to enter into the great harbor of eternity outside the mediatorial work of our great captain and our blessed Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so if you would go to heaven, if you would ever be with the Lord, you've got to follow in the steps of the captain of our salvation, the Lord Jesus Christ. The second thing I want to look at is the authority of the captain. Now, in the case of our ship that we were on, the captain was appointed by the giant Royal Caribbean Company, and they chose him for reasons that they know best. They chose him to be the captain of our vessel. They invested him with confidence. They showed their confidence in him, and they honored him by raising him to such a position as captain over such a giant vessel, and they gave to him the control over that massive vessel, and they gave to him the responsibility to steer it safely to its various destinations. So he was chosen and appointed and given the full confidence of those who are on land and the people who are in control of the company. Now, when you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the captain of our salvation, you'll find that he was appointed and anointed by his heavenly Father. In the context, it tells us in verse 9, "But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man, for it became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings." Jesus Christ, you'll have noticed here on a couple of occasions, tells us that God the Father has anointed him with glory and with honor. And he is the anointed of God for salvation. And God the Father is the one in whom he has placed the confidence of bringing the mighty ship of salvation safely to its heavenly harbor. God the Father has placed his full confidence in the one who is his precious Son, and that he would eventually bring them to a safe harbor in heaven. Over in Psalm number 2, you have one of the Messianic Psalms, and in Psalm number 2, we discover there, in that Psalm, in verse 6, God says, "Yet have I set, or yet have I anointed, my King upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee." And so the Lord Jesus Christ has been appointed and anointed by God the Father to this mighty task. We had an interesting time, I think it was in Barbados where Gene Bino comes from, we had hired a little minibus to take the 8 of us around. And we went to some particular place and stopped, and I come back in, and here's Howard having a discussion with the native driver. And they were discussing theology somewhat, and this man was saying, it's all wrong because Jesus Christ is not God. Jesus Christ is not God. He is the Son of God. And I was glad I was able to interject at that moment Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 8. Where it says, "Unto the Son," this man was willing to acknowledge that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, "unto the Son, he," God the Father, "saith, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever." And so that ends the argument right there. that Jesus Christ is not only the Son of God and the Son of Man, but He is God of very God, and His deity is clearly taught in the Word of the Lord. And so therefore, He has been invested with the authority of heaven behind His earthly ministry and His death on the cross, and Jesus Christ must be in complete control of the vessel of salvation. There's no other way to be approach God outside the mediatorial work of our blessed Lord and our Savior. And my friend, if you would ever get to heaven, you need to recognize the necessity of Christ as the captain of your soul, and you need to recognize the authority that has been given by God to Him. And others who claim different religions, they do not have the divine authority that has been given to God's only begotten Son. The third thing to notice is the ability of the captain. He's been made here the captain of their salvation, and therefore he has to have ability to be able to bring these many sons unto glory. Now, in the experience of our trip down to the Caribbean, our captain, no doubt, sometime had a calling to become a seaman. I was talking to him personally a couple of days ago, and not only was he called, but he had to go through school, because in our modern day, and with the modern equipment and so on, it's not just a case of going out and steering a ship. You have to have the desk learning to go with it. And so he was called, and he spent time in college where he learned much. And then he went through all the experiences of seamen. One woman asked him a question about rough water, and he says, "You know nothing about it," because in his younger days he used to be in a small merchant vessel and it didn't have stabilizers. And he said, "Then you know what rough water is," because she was rolling from side to side, and sometimes her nose down, her tail up, and vice versa, and so on. He says, "You know nothing about rough water." And so this man, he went through in his life all the various experiences of a seaman, and going through rough water. And then he rose up through the ranks as a well-experienced captain to become the captain of a mighty vessel, and a great vessel he was indeed well-experienced. Now, in the Scripture, it says, "It became Him," that's God the Father, "for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect or complete through sufferings." Now, Jesus Christ had a humble birth. We were celebrating His birth just a few weeks ago, born as a babe in Bethlehem. Now, I want you to understand that Hebrews chapter 1 is one of the great chapters in the Bible on the deity of the Lord Jesus, quoting that verse again, 8, "But unto the Son, God saith, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever." Jesus Christ is God. Jesus Christ is King, because He sits upon a throne. Jesus Christ is the eternal King, because His scepter of righteousness is forever and ever, and He is, as the Lord Jesus, a righteous King. And so this is the chapter of the deity of the Lord Jesus. And those who argue against it, in fact, it's one of the great key verses for checking out other translations of the Bible. Because if they go wrong there in Hebrews 1 and 8, they're wrong right through. Because this is the chapter, and that is one of the key verses on the deity of the Lord Jesus. "Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever." But chapter 2 is a different chapter, because chapter 2 is a chapter that speaks of the humility of the Lord Jesus. It speaks of His humanity. Because in chapter 1, it tells us there of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ into the world. And it says in verse 4, "being made so much better than the angels." And then in chapter 2, you discover, it says in verse 9, "but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels." That's not a contradiction. The first chapter is dealing with the divinity, the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is God. But now you're looking in chapter 2 at His humanity, how that He came down from the splendor of glory, down to be born as a babe in Bethlehem. Now, because of that He came to this world born in a humble manner and lived a humble life, no home to live in, no place to leave His head, because of that, you discover that we as a people, we have a high priest in the Lord Jesus, not untouched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. And so the Lord Jesus, the captain of our salvation, He was made perfect or complete through His sufferings, that He might be and have the ability to lead us in this great voyage of life from earth finally to heaven. And what the Lord Jesus Christ is saying to you is basically, trust me, believe me, trust what I am doing. Now, in the first cruise that we ever had was in 1989, apart from the crossing of the Atlantic Ocean when we were going back into the ministry in 1969. But in 1989 we had a cruise in a very much smaller ship, about a quarter of the size of the one on this time. And we had a rough run from Antigua down to Barbados, because you go down the Leeward Islands and then you come out on the open sea and you're getting down to Barbados. And this ship, she was rocking and rolling, and she was tossing and turning, and the propeller sometimes was actually coming out of the water because you could hear the engine speed up and then slow down. And in the middle of the night, my wife was not particularly happy about what was happening. And she said to me, do you not think that that captain would have the sense to slow down a little bit? Because he was ploughing on at the appointed speed. Would he not have the sense to slow down? And I said, dear, just trust him. Because he's done this journey many, many times. Just trust him, because the captain knows what to do. He has sailed this ship before. He has his charts. He's got his instruments. He's got his equipment. And not to worry. Well, it was easier to tell her that than for her to accept that. But we got to Barbados safely. And neither of us were sick due to the movement of the ship. But the Lord Jesus Christ, He is the captain. He's simply saying, as the captains of these ships, they say, trust me, I know what I'm doing. And the Lord Jesus is saying to you, trust me. And the little chorus that we learned in Sunday school, with Christ in the vessel, we can smile at the storm. It doesn't matter what happens in this world. It doesn't matter how rough the waters may be. Jesus says, with me in your vessel, you can smile at the storm. And that's why I was sung that hymn there, He is able to deliver thee, because it has some wonderful words in it. And it tells you there about on earth or Maine. Now, we are on earth right now. What is Maine? Maine is the sea. Maine is the ocean. So the hymn writer is saying, on earth or Maine, on land or sea, He is able to deliver thee. And so, my friend, what a blessing it is to have one who is the able captain of salvation, who has been through all the various experiences, and he's about the business of leading his people to heaven. Now, sometimes you have to go through a rough time. As we were getting off the ship yesterday, I heard a woman saying to her husband, you know, I enjoyed it okay, but I don't like this rocking. Well, the ship we were on didn't rock very much, I can tell you. It was too big and wasn't affected very much by the waves. But she wanted to have a nice, solid feel under her feet at all times. And so she didn't really enjoy it because of that. But my friend, in life, the Lord Jesus Christ has called us to salvation. And at times, we will pass through difficult waters, and things will happen, and we'll wonder, why, Lord, is this happening? And the whole time you hear Him saying, trust me, I know what I'm doing, because in due time, you'll get to glory, and you'll be far better for it when you've had the experience of finding that in life, no matter how hard it may be, I am always there
I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Of course, the thing is that when you go on the ship, you have to follow the captain. Because when he's up in the bridge there and the ship is going and you're on the ship, you're going to follow him because you're on the ship with him. And my friend, we've got to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Follow. I will follow Jesus. And so because we're in the ship of salvation, it's incumbent upon us to follow him. Because if you get away from him, then you're in for some trouble. We had a laugh. It wasn't a laugh or two other people. But we had a laugh there coming out of, I think it was Barbados or out of Antigua, that the ship was about 2 miles out. And then for some reason slowed down almost a stop. And I wonder what's going on. And you look back and there away in the distance is a little boat manfully coming through the waves. And she was rough. Rough for a small boat. And here was the pilot boat. And what happened was two of the passengers who should have been in the boat, they had forgotten about the proper time to be back on. They always give you half an hour. Get on half an hour before sailing. And these people are doing something, and they missed it, and they brought them on the pilot's boat, and I watched them, in fact, I filmed them, and this boat was tossing to and fro and up and down, and so they paid dearly for getting away from the captain. They should have been with him. And my friend, when you get away from the Lord Jesus Christ, you can be sure you're going to go through rough water. Because the Lord wants us to follow close to him. And the nearer we are to him, as the Bible tells us, and the hymn tells us, stayed upon Jehovah, hearts are fully blessed, finding, as he promised, a perfect peace and rest. So you've got the necessity of the captain, the authority of the captain, you've got the ability of the captain, and then you've got the responsibility of the captain. Because the captain of a ship has many responsibilities. First of all, he has the responsibility placed upon him to guide the vessel and its occupants to the safe harbor. In the case that we were on, the boat we were on, not allowed to call the boat, he says, it's not a boat, it's a ship. And he said that they had over 3,000 passengers and crew. That's an immense responsibility that he has. Now, it tells us here, regarding the Lord Jesus, it became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory. The word bringing there is a word that means to lead along. So the Lord Jesus Christ, like the captain of a great vessel, he is leading us along and is guiding us towards the eternal harbor. And if you look at the ship, you'll find that the bridge is up in the front of the ship. It's not away at the back like you would get maybe in an oil tanker in the passenger one. It's up front where he can have a clear view of where he's going. And what was our motto text this year? That telling us there that the Lord, Jehovah, he is the one that doth go before thee. And so as the captain of our salvation, he's in front of us. As the shepherd of our salvation, he is again in front of the flock. And so we have the wonderful teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. He goes before and he goes to guide us on the way from earth to heaven. One of the hymns gives us that lovely thought that he will guide thee from earth to heaven. But not only that, the responsibility of the captain also takes in the matter of provision. Now you look at a ship like we were on, they serve 15,000 meals every day. 15,000 meals every day, and I have quite a few of them back with me. That it is, if you ever go on a cruise, you know that they feed you very, very well. It's an awful shame to waste all that food. And so you take it and you bring it back with you and you take a long time getting rid of it. But they have 15,000 meals every day. And then 1,000,001 details of getting people from different parts to meet at the boat at the right ship at the right time, and then to travel. And all the stuff inside. I mean, you have one crew member for about every 2.5 passengers. So there's a lot of work goes on, a lot of provision made, 1,000,001 details. But my friend, you think of the captain of salvation and the details that he has to deal with every day in your life, because you're praying for something, Somebody else is praying for something else. Somebody else is praying. And I read in a book not so long ago about somebody says, well, God doesn't answer my prayer. Lord, you don't answer my prayer. And he says, this man made it in a sort of a humorous way. He says, the Lord has just answered 2,560,270 prayers in this last second. Because God is listening and he's making provision. And he provides for us physically. He provides our food. He provides our raiment. He provides everything for us. And there's a million, billion details of the provision that the Lord has for us. And the greatest provision of all was the provision of his precious blood to be shed on Calvary to blot out our iniquities. And so thank God for one who has provided the salvation for us, the captain of our salvation. Then there's another responsibility the captain has, and that is to stay at his post. Now, in the middle, again, the run down to Barbados, a little kind of rough water there, and this big ship wasn't moving all that much. But I was awake in the middle of the night, and I was thinking how nice it is that while I'm sleeping, to know that up on the bridge there's a captain there, and he's not sleeping. He can sleep during the day when we're in the next island. But at night time when we're sleeping, he's up there watching all the time. And I thought, what a comforting thought. And I can go to sleep now again and rejoice that he is in complete control. The captain's awake. Now, we couldn't see him when we're in our cabin. We couldn't see the captain. But it was comforting to know that he was up there and that he was steering the ship. My friend, what a blessing to know that the Lord Jesus Christ never leaves his post. Because it tells us over there in that great Psalm 121 that he will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. What a blessed psalm! That the Lord is there. He never sleeps. He's watching over us from the beginning of the year even to the end thereof. The Lord is watching and he's never slumbering. He's staying at his post because as the captain of the great ship of salvation, this is not an unusual thing to say because the ark in the Old Testament is a picture of God's salvation. And as we travel in this great ark of salvation, with the great captain, thank God he's always at his post and is there to guide us and to provide for us, and he stays at his post. But not only that, in our day, traveling is not a war situation, although there are some war situations in different parts of the world, but most shipping today is in a peaceful manner, and certainly cruises, whether it be in Alaska to Alaska, or in the Caribbean, or in the Mediterranean, the cruises are a kind of a pleasant occasions. A lot of shipping in other times was in a battle situation. And we have to understand that the journey from earth to heaven is not a cruise. We sit back and you have a nice time. The journey from earth to heaven is a battle situation, a sea battle of tremendous proportions. But how good that we have with us the captain, and the captain of our salvation is also our great commander. And he goes before us and we can sing onward Christian soldiers marching us to war because we have the cross of the Lord Jesus ahead of us leading us each step of the way. And then the responsibility of the captain also is to rally his people on the boat, on the ship, and to encourage them. Now, they had a wonderful thing that amused me. They had, you know, Letterman does the 12-something rollers, 10-something rollers, and I have never heard him say anything that was funny. But on the ship, they had the 10 dumbest questions asked of the captain and the crew by the people who travel on the ship. And they were quite amusing indeed. one person asked, does the crew sleep on board at night? And the guy said, no, they take them off by helicopter to land and the ship goes on by itself. What a dumb question. But the dumbest of all was somebody who asked the captain, has this ship ever sunk before? That is 90,000 tons. If it sunk, you'd never get it back up again. It'd be down the bottom of the sea like the Titanic and would never be raised again. But the captain did come down on Thursday, and for half an hour he spoke to about 50 of us, 40 or 50 of us sitting around, and we asked him questions, and he was very personable and was very good to answer. And there's one woman, she said, Captain, I'm just a bit concerned. This has not been typical Caribbean weather. A lot of wind and the water's a bit rough, and I'm a little bit scared. And he says, her dear, don't worry. That what you have on this ship here is just a nice little gentle rocking, just to put you to sleep at night. Don't worry about it. Everything is fine. Everything is under control. And I was encouraged by the fact that he took time just to allay the fears of this lady, because she was a little scared about the whatever rocking there was of the ship, and maybe it'll blow over, because I said it was four times the height of our church. So he took time to encourage her. And my friend, what a wonderful thing that we have in this book of Hebrews. That the Lord Jesus said, as the captain of our salvation, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And don't worry. Don't worry when the waves are at their peak. Don't you worry, because I'm in control. And the captain said on our ship, he says, you call a ship by the female pronoun. She's a she. And he says, but I have to teach her that I am the boss. The men enjoyed that particular little illustration, and no doubt it'll surface again in their conversations when they get home. Who has to be the boss? But he said, I'm the boss. And I thought, how wonderful that the Lord Jesus Christ, he is the boss. He is in control, and control of all things. And today, he encourages, even going through the rough waters, that as we sung there, going through the rough waters, some through the water, some through the flood, but all through the blood. Because the Lord Jesus Christ is there to encourage us each step of the way. One final word, and that is the glory of the captain. It says there in verse number 9, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. And then in verse 10, it became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things, bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. And again, further up there in verse number 7, thou madest him a little low in the angels, thou crownest him with glory and honor. And so the first thing you discover there is the glory of the person of the captain. Now, on the ship, we had, say, 3,000 people. You had about 900 crew, and all the crew, they wore identifying garments. But how did you know the captain? How did you know the captain if you met him on the deck, never having seen him before? You know him because of his stripes. And he has more stripes than anybody else in the crew. And how do you recognize the captain of salvation? You know him by the stripes. And the Bible tells us, by his stripes we are healed. How glorious is the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. He is the one who bore the stripes by which our salvation was complete and was fulfilled. Then, not only the glory of his person, but the glory of his title, because this is one of the titles of the Lord Jesus. You can see the Bible and you'll find wonderful titles of the Lord Jesus. There are literally dozens, maybe hundreds of them. There are hundreds of them. And this is one of them,
He is the captain of their or our salvation.
The great ship carries many people, passengers and crew. But this is the greatest ship of all time, the vessel of salvation, and it carries not millions but billions of saved souls. And the glory of the title of the Lord Jesus, the captain of their salvation, the captain of our salvation. And tonight we glorify his name, and our great calling is to bring glory and honor to the name of the Lord Jesus. And then the glory of the final destination, because it tells us here that he is appointed by God in bringing many sons where? Unto glory. Now, we went to some lovely ports and some lovely islands. But nowhere that compares with this final destination, which is glory. And in glory it means here, heaven. And so here's this glorious place to which the Lord is leading us wave by wave and mile by mile as we travel towards the end time when we meet with the Lord Jesus. My friend, what a blessing. On Friday morning I woke up and looked out of our cabin, and there was the lights of the city to which we were traveling at that time. What a blessing to know that after a little bit rough night, you're now coming into the port, the final port. What a blessing. And my friend, what a blessing when, with eye of faith, you can see the lights of the heavenly shore. And you can hear the change in the great ship as we get near home. The days march near home. What a blessing when we enter into the final destination of heaven. Only one final thing I want to ask you individually. Is Christ on board in your heart and your life? Does Christ have the helm of your life, or are you under the control of the wicked one? The Bible tells in James of how a great ship is turned around by a very small rudder. While that rudder is in the control of a good captain, then the ship is safely steered. But if the helm is in the control of an evil captain, then there's great danger. And if your life is controlled by the captain of salvation, the Lord Jesus, then you're sailing and will sail until finally you get into that harbor that God has prepared. But if you haven't got Christ in the vessel, if you haven't got him on board, if you haven't asked him to come into your life, then, my friend, you're going to make shipwreck of your life here on earth. And eternal shipwreck of your soul forever in the caverns of the damned. My friend, make sure you have Christ in your heart. And also make sure you don't be left behind. Those people were told, be back on board the ship at 4:00. Warning's clear. You leave the ship and you see a sign at the door, all on board by 4 p.m. You couldn't miss it. It's there. The warning is there. And not only at the entrance and the exit of the ship, but also in the paperwork they give you every day. It tells you to be back on board in this particular case, 4:00. And those two people, and another one the next day, for reasons known only themselves, did not get back in time, and they have a half hour gap there between being on board the ship sails. They didn't even make the half hour. And so when they came to the jetty, they could see the ship out in the distance moving away. It was only the kindness of the captain that allowed them to get on the pilot boat and make their way out and join them. My friend, you've been warned time and time again. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. You've been warned. It says, it is time to seek the Lord. Young person, older person,
don't be left behind, because the day will come and the great ship of salvation will be beyond your reach. Because God says, my spirit shall not always strive with man.
The ship gave them warning. Strove with them. Make sure you're back in time. Most people did. But these three did not. My friend, make sure you're not left behind. Let's bow together in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank Thee tonight that Jesus Christ is the captain of our salvation. And while, Lord, sometimes we pass through rough seas, we thank Thee He's with us each step of the way. Our Father, we pray that Thou would fulfill Thy promise to us in the book of Psalms, where it tells us there that Thou shalt guide me with Thy counsel, and afterward receive me up to glory. Oh God, what a blessed hope the believer in Christ has. But Father, for those who are watching the ship of salvation gradually move away, our Father, we pray that Thou impress upon them the need to be in time before it is forever and ever too late. Lord, answer prayer, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.